Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul Channel. Sports in Depth is the show, and it is our weekly. Calling the doctor, Mel Smith Jr. Little Coco will be here with the questions. And for the next 45 minutes, Mel will ask questions. I will answer questions, and we will talk about a host of different things. And was I right? The last time we did this show, we were preparing. I'm waiting for a caller to call in, waiting for Rooney to call in. And in the process, I think it's Rooney. And I answer the phone. And Rooney, is that you? No. When you speak about Riddick Bowe, I said, Riddick Bowe? Okay, where are you calling from? England, old chap. So we want to thank everybody around the world who's taking the time out to not only listen to me, but all of the great shows here on Blake Radio, Rainbow Soul, and Blog Talk Radio. We appreciate so immensely you taking the time to come and listen to us and share your thoughts. We have the chat room. You know, you can always download the shows. I'll maybe try to get Big C from another perspective to come tonight, but it's tonight's show. It's Calling the Doctor, and Larry Scriven, host Doctor, and hosts his weekly radio show, Calling the Doctor, with co-host, former WF star, Mel Little Coco Smith Jr. The questions come from all angles, as Rooney always goes to the pen when inquiring and seeking his answers from Doc Stanley. And as always, we open the show with a prayer, and that is my John Coltrane music, and we Train, as we all know, well, those in the jazz business know, Train was discovered by Miles Davis. Miles Louis Davis discovered Coltrane. Train eventually went on and got his own group and left Miles. And in the process, I believe he took Philly Joe Jones with him, or Philly came with him, because Philly. Well, I'm talking about because that original group, that original first group, was on a kind of blue. That original quartet. Let me see. Miles is on the trumpet. Miles on the trumpet. Cannonball Adderley was on the tenor sax, and Train was on the tenor. Paul Chambers on bass. Philly Joe Jones on drums. And I keep thinking Red Garland was playing the piano, but I'm thinking now that it wasn't Red Garland. It was somebody told me it was Bill Evans. But I think Evans played certain numbers and Garland played. Now Garland, ironically enough, was a boxer and had fought against Ray Robinson. Yeah, Red Garland was a boxer and he had fought against Ray Robinson. And interesting group. Ironically enough, we can do a little Did You Know segment here now, that it was Miles who was the man who came to Ray after Ray Robinson's the fight that was Ray Robinson's last fight. Miles came into the dressing room, and it was Miles who told Ray that, Ray, you know, this is it, let it go. And that was when Walker Smith Jr., which was his real name, from Black Bottom, Detroit. I remember he said in the documentary, I was black and was at the bottom. And it was Miles Louis Davis who said, Ray, gotta let it go. And well, we're gonna let it go now with our prayer, and then Rooney's gonna join us, so we'll be just segments. But hold on, as always, John Coltrane, dear Lord, Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. Thank you for blessings unseen, unknown, and unquestioned and deserved. Thank you for little things that we so largely take for granted. We thank you for being our God, for being our Savior, as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, just yesterday, really not knowing the sacrifices made that we, those selected, have the right to reveal our life. We thank you for all things. We thank you for everything. Realize that you're God all by yourself. And it's to you alone that we pay homage. No other God, no other thing. For you alone, God Almighty. I am. We thank you. God and Jesus. Amen. And with that, I think it's time to let Larry Hardesty do what only he does. The greatest African-American sportscaster in the history of radio. And now we're going to do our Calling the Doctor. Legendary scribe and host Doc Stanley hosts his weekly radio show, Calling the Doctor, with co-host, former WF star, Little Mel Coco Smith Jr. The question
thank
comes
you,
from all angles,
doctor,
as Junior
you.
Always goes for the pen when inquiring and seeking his questions from the doctor. Larry Hardesty, do your thing. Do this, Larry.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
All day, all night, all the time, BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
Always stimulate the mind with a point well taken. And Mel Smith Jr., Lou Coco, our WWF expert, one of the panel members on Sunday night here. And this is a segment, this is just derived from Rooney, who 2, 3, 4 times a week, he, Doc, he'll come, hey, Doc, I know you're busy, the busiest man I've ever known, Doc. But Doc, and he'll ask.
I've never met Doc, I tell you. And with good reason, everybody wants a piece of the doctor.
Oh, thank you for your kind.
All of us sports people come to pick your brain. There's no mystery about that.
Wow, thanks, Coon. You know, it's just, you know, just a blessing. And you know, I've just been blessed to be around. I remember when Art Russ was alive and I would be someplace, and I say Art Russ said, and it would it'd be like the old E. F. Hutton commercial. Everybody would stop and listen. And I remember he said some things to me that were quite profound. One of them was that he had probably seen or been at every great sporting event of the 20th century. I mean, he was there when Ray Robinson against Joey Maxim fainted at Yankee Stadium. He was there when Bobby Thompson hit the home run heard round the world. You know, he was there. And more importantly, there was one thing he said to me, Rooney, that was really startling, and it really floored me. Art Russ Jr., Arthur George, said he never thought in his lifetime, there'd be a black baseball player.
Oh, yeah, Doc, in the majors. I mean, that had to be like a shaking up of the world at the time. Nobody ever thought that there'd be a black in a major league.
Right, and you don't kind of realize the profound effect Jackie had, because when you realize that Jackie came in 47, and we so easily forget Dobie, came in months afterwards. You know what I mean? It's just amazing that, but in a lot of ways, it may have made, not really made Dobie's transition immediate, because people don't realize Larry Dobie was the first black player to win a World Series and the first black player to hit a home run in a World Series, because, you know, Cleveland won it all in 48.
Right.
Won it all in 48.
Yeah.
You know, people forget that they won it all in 48. Okay, they lost in 54, but hey, 6 years earlier, they had won it all. They'd won it all in 48. In fact, I think Satch was on that team. If I'm correct, I think Satch was on that team that won it all. But the thing was, I mean, you look at the Red Sox. Red Sox didn't get a black player in 1959.
Yeah, you're right, Don.
At 59, I mean, Rooney, what's
I mean, 1959, I mean, my goodness, I was basically born.
Yeah,
I mean basically born a year, like years later. The thing I'm trying to say about that is, and not only that, Doc, not only that, but if people could truly appreciate, not only did these guys do their things, But they did under incredible pressures that folks would just never even understand
and then, Rooney, you dovetail the pressure they were under and the talent they were under. They played against the best. I mean, once the infusion, the black players came, you had the best. Look at this thing, Rooney. We're talking the Red Sox of 59. We're talking 1 year away from 60. We're talking 1 year away from 60. In 1959, Jackie Robinson, who had retired in 1956, had been out of, he was almost ready for the Hall of Fame.
Jackie Robinson, before
the Red Sox got a player, Jackie Robinson got in and out of baseball.
They were the last holdout, as you know, Doc. They were just gonna try to hold out. Couldn't hold out anymore.
Yeah, well, look, I think the Yankees were the next to last team. They got Elliott in 55, but the amazing thing about that, the Red Sox were still 4 years behind them. They were still a lot has been said. There's been two sides of the story. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls, here on Sports Depth, the show Calling of the Doctor, our weekly show with Mel Smith Jr., our panelist on Sunday, and former WF. So a lot was said that had Ted Williams been around, Boston may have got a black player a lot sooner. But, you know, Ted did those 5 years in the military. You know, because a lot of times they were trying to say, well, no, it was Ted. And how can it be Ted? Ted wasn't there. I mean, Ted Smith. And the amazing thing about Ted, the guy won two triple crowns. Okay, won two triple crowns. He lost two on the last day. He was in the bidding for two more on the last day of the season. And, you know, the thing about Ted Williams that is really I remember I told Don Mattingly this. And I told Don Mattingly that Ted Williams won the triple crown and didn't win the MVP. And Donnie couldn't believe it. And as I look back over the situation, both times that Ted Williams won the triple crown, he didn't win the MVP.
Which is almost startling to believe.
And he lost to the Yankees, and the year he hit 400, he didn't win the MVP.
Wasn't one of those years that he lost stock, and like I said, we always love to pick your brain. Wasn't one of those years during the DiMaggio 56 game hitting streak?
Rooney, you know, once again, a point well taken. When he hit 400, that's the year that Joe in 41 had the 56 game hitting streak. So Joe won the MVP that year, and I think Ted, when he hit 401 that year, he hit 487 against the Yankees. I mean, he should have won it just over 487. He hit damn near 500 against the Yankees.
That's almost impossible to do. It really is.
The next year, in 42, after hitting 400 and 401, in 42, he wins a triple crown. Again, he doesn't get the MVP. He hit 400 the year before. The next year, he leads the league in everything. Okay, I think, and it's amazing. You look back how the game was, I think, the league he led with, like 39 home runs. But he lost the MVP to Joe Gordon and the late, great Bill Shannon said, and the only thing that Joe Gordon led the league in 42 was errors. In 47, his last triple crown, he doesn't get the MVP again. A sports writer wouldn't even give him a 10th place vote. How can a guy win MVP and don't get a 10th place vote? Wouldn't give him a 10th place vote. And Ted beat him. Jody beat him out. And that year, 47-40 became really significant.
That is absurd on the face of it, Doc. That is absurd. The MVP, and you can't get a top 10 vote. That's ridiculous.
Couldn't get a top 10 vote. Couldn't get tied. And had he got any kind of vote, he'd have tied DiMaggio. Had he got a second or third place vote, he'd have won the thing outright, which would have denied Joe, ironically enough, from becoming the first man to ever win the MVP three times. And which was made the next year, which was astonishing, that Stanley Frank Musial won the MVP. And you know, Musial had a tremendous year in 48. He almost won the triple crown. He led the league in home runs and RBIs. He led the major leagues in batting, RBIs, triple and doubles. He hit a home run. The game got rained out. Had the game not gotten rained out, Stan Musial would have won the triple crown in 48, and had Joe D not won the MVP in 47, he would have became the first man ever to win three MVPs. As it was, he became the second man ever to win and the first man in the National League to win MVP three times. Then 3 years later, in fact, 3 years later, in 51, Campy would win it for the first time. But in 49, after Stanley Frank Richard won, Jackie would become the first black player to win an MVP award, making him not only the first black player to win an MVP award, but also the first black player and the first player ever, as in 47, he won the Rookie of the Year award. And that award was, like, dominated by African-Americans for a while. He won it. Sam Jethro won it. Willie Mays won it. Don Newcomb won it. And it's just amazing that you look at it, Rooney, that, you know, I thought about the other day. I said, man, it's absurd. Ted Williams, three of his greatest years, didn't get the MVP. I mean, lost to the Yankees, too. Didn't get the MVP.
You know, something that would be the equivalent. What is it, Doc? I'm trying to think of a sports equivalent of accomplishing that kind of feat and not getting the big prize. And I really can't think of one, Doc. I'm trying to think of what would be the.
You're right. I mean, because a lot of ways that is subjective, but how can you?
You know,
that
would be like that. That would be like leading the league in rushing, receiving, and total yards, and not getting the offensive MVP.
Yeah. I mean, here's a guy led the league in rushing, led the league in receiving, you know,
and total yards together also, and not getting it.
He gave it to everyone, Doc,
and he don't get the MVP.
It's just mind boggling. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Depth of the show. Rooney calls in the questions that, and, you know, I had to do this. You know, I said the questions come from all angles, as Rooney always goes for the pen. When it cries,
I like that, Doctor. Go for the pen. You're bringing in my old wrestling background, huh?
Oh,
by the way,
yeah,
Doctor, I have to say something about that. I have to thank you again because I had had come from a wrestling background and trying to find a way to get into the writing and sports reporting business, and you are already legend, you and Marion Boykin, and took time out of your very, very busy schedule, and all the people wanted just at least 5 minutes of your time.
Ronnie, you're more than welcome, okay? You're definitely justified. And you know, it's a situation of you know, you thank the good Lord. And this is, you know, this is what it's about. I mean, but, you know, because people did it for us. You know, I remember Marion Boykin, because me and Marion, you know, we liked you from the jump, you, Francis Walker. You know, but you know, the thing about you too, Rooney, the way you carried yourself, shirt and tie, you know, always definitely dressed, always with your pencil and pad, you know what I mean? Excuse me, sir, can I speak to you for a minute? You know what I mean? I mean, the guys, look at you. I mean, they're going to talk to you. If I don't talk to this guy, he may beat me after death. I'm going to talk to him, you know? But he's so nice and polite to me, you know what I mean?
Well, to me, Doctor, I love so much was how you and Marion just kind of welcomed me. And, you know, it's like, you know, I've been there. So, you know, don't worry about it. Just, you know, just chill on out. And we'll, you know, we'll try to help you do your thing because we see you got some talent. And that's, like I said, I never forgot that, and I always appreciated it. I remember being at a title fight at the Garden, and you're usually doing your thing, making your rounds, everybody acknowledging you. And Marion Boykin walked up to me, who, you know, also was responsible for getting me, you know, there.
Oh, yeah,
And said, well, how do you like being this close to it? Do you like it? Do you like it? And I'm just sitting up there, you know, just amazed because, you know, Doc, being at the Garden, almost nothing can match being at the Garden for a world heavyweight title fight.
You know, Art Russ Jr. said something I'll never forget. Among the zillions of things Arthur George told me, he said, you know, no matter how many times you go to a world championship fight, when the main event starts, you get all excited.
Get goosebumps,
you know what I mean? Yeah, you know, ding, 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 ding. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the main event. Weighing in at 147, 3/4 pounds. It does. I mean, it's
coming from a wrestling background, Doc, I can really appreciate what these great athletes have to go to get prepared to be ready to do battle.
Well,
you know, coming from a wrestling
background, they say the greatest athlete in the world, shape wise, is when a fighter steps into that ring on fight night.
Let me tell you, the fighters are modern-day gladiators. And
yes.
Let me tell you something. Like, you know, when I first went into wrestling, okay, I had actually wrestled in as an amateur in high school. So as I was trying to make the transition to the pros, you know, when I first came in, I thought I was in pretty good shape. But as it turns out, Doc, I was in good shape for a regular person, but wasn't in wrestling shape.
You were in good wrestling shape?
No, I said I was in good shape for a regular person. I mean, I remember I had been one of the top people. They had a Marine Corps physical fitness test, and I remember winning it in high school. One of the people who had won that, you had to do a certain amount of push-ups and sit-ups and all of that. And I did it, Doc. So, you know, when I graduated, was trying to make my transition to pro wrestling, I thought I was in, you know, pretty good shape, you know, past the Marine Corps fitness thing without a problem. Well, Doc, let me tell you something. I wasn't even in the beginning shape that you need to do professional wrestling or boxing for a living. Not only are these men dedicated, but, Doc, like I said, they are more than dedicated. Not only are they professionals, but you have to be willing to just basically give of yourself more than the average person would believe if they knew what you had to go through to get there.
I remember the Bob Arum's fight at the Garden, and Angelo Dundee had the kids from Notre Dame on the card. And I'm thinking it must have been Cotto fight. Must have been Cotto, maybe Cody. But I don't remember Pacquiao being around, but it must have been a Cotto fight, maybe the Puerto Rican that day. And I remember the trainer for the kid from Notre Dame saying that he got together with Carmen Pacilio, and he said that's when he learned about training. You know, he said, you know, he had to learn how to run backwards. Or, you know, people don't understand this shit. But you know what's amazing, though, Rooney, is how these guys who are so dedicated and get so much into shape, how so many of them just, I mean, Buddy McGirt looks like a super heavyweight nowadays.
You're right. And it's funny, Doc, because when you watch, you know, Doc, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because, you know, when you watch Buddy, because I remember, like you said, Doc, I remember us being at the Garden when he was defending his title against Sweet Pea Whitaker.
Yeah, we got the Garden at March of 1993.
You know, yeah.
Well, I remember that because of Buddy hurt his arm,
right?
And he was at the hospital right down from my house, right off York Avenue, about 68th Street. And Don had wanted me to work with him, but me and Don had went. I found out through that situation. As people know too, Doc, I'm a retired police officer, and at the time I was active. And Don had asked me to come work in Tony Tucker's camp.
TNT Tucker.
What a tremendous, what a gifted. Nobody knows how good Tony Tucker. I mean, Tony was. He went the distance with Mike, and he had
Doc, you would know this because you were on the inside. It was rumored that not only when he went the distance with Mike, but it was rumored that he had done that with an injured arm.
Rooney, will you quit jumping the gun? My goodness, you're right, Rooney. I was going to say that and remember he told me. He said he had an injured arm. He said, but I thought I could beat that little sucker with one arm. You know what I mean? But a wonderful human being. And I remember talking to Buddy. I said, well, you know, Don. You know, he said, well, hey, Mel, you know, go ahead. You know, it's a good move. Go work for Don. And I found out then, because the late Larry Hardesty, who opens our show, Greatest African-American Sportscast in History of Radio, mentioned the Greatest African-American Sportscast in History of Radio, period. Because if you're number one in New York City, you're number one in El Mundo. I remember I didn't know, but because Larry was working with Don too, we were someplace, and Don said, "Doc Stanley, he gave me my first interview. The first person ever gave me a live interview was him, Stanley." I found out I was the first person ever to give Don King a radio interview, and it's just amazing. Let me take a quick look. Let me see if we can get loose spotted. Don't move, Rooney.
Hello, I'm Deirdre Shuler, your host of Topically Yours. I wanted to take a moment to thank you for listening to my show today. If you enjoyed today's programming, please support other Topically Yours shows, as well as the entire roster of Blake Radio hosts and their shows featured on Rainbow Soul. Listeners can also catch Blake Radio on iTunes by simply typing Blake Radio into the iTunes search menu. Also, Via Blog Talk Radio's help menu, audiences can obtain instructions on how to listen to shows via Cinch and how to download shows to their iPods and iPhones. It is the intention of Blake Radio to continue offering quality shows designed to inspire, inform, and entertain you. So stay tuned to our programming and tell your friends about Blake Radio 2. We'll be waiting.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports and Depth Show. The first lady of Blake Radio, Lady D, Deirdre Shuler. And we also have the first lady, Boxing Lady A. And her announcement, she's show is on Tropically Yours, but her promo there tells you just what you need to do to catch up with us. And just want to pay homage to her. She's the person that brought me to Blake Radio, and what a wonderful, wonderful human being. Rooney, we, Knicks are gone. Something
yes,
was
they are, Doctor, and, well, I got to tell you, you know what's so funny, Don? They played role reversal. The two games in Boston could have very well been the two games at the Garden, and the two games at the Garden could very well have been the two games played in Boston.
Yeah. You know, I remember you steaming, Doc, can he dump the ball, please? Jesus, the shades of Charles Smith, you said.
Doc, I was so livid. I mean, here I am, Doc, and, you know, I met Charles Smith from way back in the day, and, I mean, Doc, we're talking a specimen. 6'10", well over 250 pounds. I mean, a truly nice guy and nice individual. But
and one of the most beautiful wives in the world.
If he wanted to throw his weight around, trust
you know
me,
what?
He could have. I don't have to tell you.
That particular play, I remember, I have a photo, and it shows Scottie Pippen mugging the guy and not getting caught. But ironically, after Mike left, Scottie got that call on him that sent Hubert Davis to the free throw line. I remember Scottie in the dressing room saying that, you know, he couldn't live with that call. He said, how could Hugh make that call? He said, how could he make that call that he had did against Scottie? And as you know, Hubert scored the two baskets that were the difference in the Knicks finally beating the Bulls without Michael, as Mike took that 2-year hiatus. But you were just, you know, and we talked about this yesterday, Rooney, and I'm just, and see, I did the right thing. It's 9:27. See, last time I had us for half hour, we had 3 minutes left. This time we got us 22 minutes. We're 60 minutes left. We're in good shape. Rooney, I told you I had to, and I can see this going to an hour, too. We're probably going to do
it. You said that, Doc, too. Very perceptive as usual.
Thanks, Rooney. Thanks
for
coming.
I mean, Doc, but the thing is, I know you got the question, Doc, but the thing is, I mean, the guy that we were talking about last night, for some reason, his name escaped me now. But, I mean, the guy's listed at 6'10". His arms are from here to across the street. You're 3 feet away from the hoop. Can you take the ball to the whole strong place?
You know
can
what?
You
I remember when Dr. J came along and the guys were talking about the jump shot and stuff, and Doc said, you know, Doc says, I dunk because it's my best shot. I take my best shot. I remember Julius told me, that I asked him, when was the first time you ever dunked? He said, Mel, it was in the seventh grade. Come down on the break, and I slammed it down. He said, and the next year, in the eighth grade, on my lunch hour, I would practice dunking. So I wouldn't go to lunch. I would just practice dunking. He said, and by the time I got to the ninth grade, I could dunk a basketball any kind of way I wanted to.
Nice.
Any
kind
of
way.
Well,
by the way, I have to mention this before I forget, Doc.
Go ahead.
Speaking of dunking, I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Speaking of dunking, Doc, I never saw this before or since in Madison Square Garden. And I've been to a many an event at the Garden covering. But I've never seen this before or after, Doc. A standing ovation during the layup line before the game foul. Do you know who got that standing ovation, Doc? I mean, a standing
David
ovation
Thompson.
From basically David Thompson.
David Thompson.
I mean, Doc, his variety of dunks was just so splendid.
His first game in Madison Square Garden, the Nuggets against the Knicks. I turned my head real quickly. I come back. David Thompson had dunked his first bet. And you know the amazing thing about David Thompson? David Thompson could not palm a basketball. That's
why
he cupped it the way he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way he cupped it the way he did. He couldn't. His hands were too small to palm a basketball. That is amazing. The Skywalker. He said some things when he went into the Hall of Fame. We talked. He said, you know what? He said, everybody talked about the NBA. He said, but you know what? He said, when I was in the ABA, my first year, I made second team All-ABA. He said, my first year in the NBA, I made first team All-NBA. He said, our first year in the NBA, our team went to the conference finals. You know? He said, George McGinnis had the greatest line I ever heard. Two great lines. I asked him one, what do you think about Dr. J? And I see George now. He looked at me with a puzzled look. He said, I don't know. He said, I've never seen nothing like him. I've never seen nothing like him.
I was going to say that kind of boy. I was explaining that.
I've never seen nothing like him. And he said, I said, what's the difference between the NBA and the ABA, George? And I'll never forget, he said, TBS. if they had a television contract. Now, I asked Julius, how good was George McGinnis? And if you know Julius, he talks in a very calm, reserved manner. He said, Mel, if he wanted to, on any given night, he'd get 50 points and 50 rebounds.
Wow, Doc. That's
on
awesome.
On any given night, he said he can get 50 points. If you remember him and Julius won the MVP 3 years in a row, but he co-won it in the middle year with McGinnis. And so Julius won it, McGinnis won it, and then Julius won it again. And but yeah, never forget him. Dude, what a great guy, McGinnis. What a great guy, great player. Him and Julius' wife, the ex-wife now, have the same birthday, which is August the 10th. They both celebrate their birthday on the 10th, August 5th, is the birthday of a man considered by many the greatest Knick of all time, Patrick Ewing. Willis Beach said he thought that Patrick was the greatest Knick of all time. Thought Will was being a little humbling, Willis. But Willis, if you look at things now, Willis Reed is the only Knick player that, outside of Bradley, now that retired as a Knick, came to the Knicks and retired as a Knick. Frazier went to Cleveland. DeBusschere had came from Detroit. Earl had came from Monroe. Baltimore. And Earl from Monroe.
You're right, Doc. You said he only tried and true Knick.
Tried and true Knick. You know what I mean?
I know you can appreciate this being a basketball purist. Those battles with, say, him and Wes Unseld and those are battles about Clyde and Earl Monroe.
Wes Unseld, Will Chamberlain, only two guys ever to win the Rookie of the Year and the MVP in the same season. And Frazier's funny. I know Frazier was, because playing about Clyde, Clyde was always the last guy that left the Knick locker room. Last guy that left the Knicks locker room. Press always talked to him very candid up front. So me and Clyde are sitting there after the game, we're talking, and he's talking about just how big Unseld is, you know what I mean? He was talking about there was a certain play that they were running, and Bradley was coming out, and he was bringing Unseld with him. And he said he kept waving at Bradley, man, take that big sucker back inside. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. And one of the beauties of basketball was Unseld pulled on a rebound, and there's Earl, gone, like a track star, gone. And he just threw that thing down the court, and Earl is gone. And what
Wasn't he kind of known for that long full court pass.
Yep, that was him.
To the streaking, I think him
and Russell kind of patented it, but your Unseld would took it. Look, I mean, no, it'd be more like a quote. He just throw it to a spot. Earl get there. He just throw it to a spot. Earl get there, man, and he's gone. Earl, the Pearl
Monroe. Most of the senior, I remember watching a game against the Knicks and the Bullets one day, Doc, and talking to my dad. We were watching the game. And they were introducing the guy, you know, they give the heights. So when they were talking about the Unsell, they said, at center, at 6'7", you know, blah, 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 Wes Unsell. I'm like, Dad, isn't 6'7" kind of short for a center? And I remember his words exactly. He looked at me sharp eyed and said, they don't mess with Wes. They don't mess with Wes. Hey, Doc, a legitimate tough guy, huh?
Oh, no. I mean, and just a nice guy, a big guy. I mean, Wes Unsell was just a huge, if I'm correctly from Louisville, a huge guy, coached for a while down there. I think he's still in the organization. And just a great player. Like I said, there are only two players in the history that ever played this game who won Rookie of the Year and MVP in the same season. Wilt Chamberlain, Wes Unsell. Okay? And
pretty good company.
You know, yeah, that's, you know, the Dipper. I mean, when you talk about Chamberlain and Russell are the only two guys in the history of this game to average 20 rebounds a game. 20 rebounds a game. They both average.
You know, it's funny, Doc, because I remember I didn't know how tough rebounding was. This is why I wasn't never a huge big fan of this guy, but I have to give credit in the moment. I have to give Dennis Rodman credit being under there and leading the league and rebounding at about 6'6" on a few occasions. Because, like, I didn't know the mayhem that happened until I first started to cover a few of the games. And, look, you know, it's mayhem down there. Doc, they are doing WWF stuff down there, you know, on the bottom of the river. Big-time elbows being thrown by big-time guys.
That's,
I remember saying,
Good.
No, Doc, I remember saying, now I know why guys don't be taking it to the hoop. That much and prefer to shoot jump shots. Because you don't go down there, Doc, you get your head handed to you mess with those guys, man. Come down there with, I'm telling you what I've seen, Doc, and I don't have to tell you. Come down there with an oak leaf like you're going to slam something. Come back down there full speed like you're going to tomahawk, and you'll wind up on your butt about two times over.
Chamberlain was playing against somebody one time, and he's like, okay, don't be doing that again, okay? That's enough, you know what I mean? That's enough, okay? Because I remember slamming the dip, said, okay, that's enough. I remember they told Julius one time was playing against Marvin Bad New Barnes, and he said, Marvin, I'm not taking no elbows tonight. You know the funny thing about that club, too? Nets won the championship in that 73-74 season. And Rod Thorn left them and coached the Spirits of St. Louis, and it was the Spirits of St. Louis that beat them in the playoffs. And Marvin Bad News Barnes, ML Carr, what a tremendous crew of players that made the assortment and the populace of that old ABA. What a great, great league. And, man, this had some great, great players in that league. And you look around when the league was terminated, it was all of the ABA players who solidified and made teams they went to so much stronger. Maurice Lucas was the whole big key, 20 rebounds, 20 points, I think 12 rebounds in that Portland team that won the McGinnis
big
year.
Mo Lucas.
Yeah, was the leading scoring forward in the NBA the previous. In fact, the Knicks had actually had a press conference where they had got McGinnis. They had McGinnis. They had signed him, but there was some inaccuracies. Some territorial situation where he belonged to Philly, so he wound up going to Philly. But the Knicks, I remember being at the press conference that the Knicks had signed George McGinnis. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, most of the Sports Network of the show. It is our Calling the Doctor segment where WF star Mel Smith Jr. picks up the phone, gives me a call, asks the host some questions, and we answer them. As we do, it came from Mel just called. Hey, Doc, I know you're busy. Doc, you got him in. I just want to run this by you, Doc. Doc, did you see? Oh, yeah. Oh, tell me about so and so.
Hey, Doc, you know all of us in the business would give our right arm to be able to pick your brain for a few minutes.
Thanks, Rudy. I appreciate it, man. You know, when you talked about the passing the mantle and stuff. And I remember my first mentor in this business, by the grace of God, I had three of the greatest mentors of all time, the late Dr. Frank Bannister. My second mentor was the legendary Hal Jackson and also the legendary Art Russ Jr. And I remember Bannister, Mr. Bannister, who had the first, he was the first African-American to host a cable sports show. And he put me in the spot where I think about I was the second. And Frank always said, you know, I want somebody to take my place. And people always told me, when they would meet, oh, Stanley, hey, man, you know, Frank always talks highly. Frank always likes you. As John Condon opened the doors for me in Madison Square Garden. And then I remember the great saying by the legendary Hal Jackson, who says, you know, it's nice to be important, but it's important to be nice.
It's even better.
You know, and then Hal was the first of everything here, first African-American sportscaster, first disc jockey, you know. And I remember, I mean, everybody knew Hal. I remember he did that talented teen contest and out in Queens. Al Green, had Al Green out there, man. And I met Al Green and Griffin, and I went to give Hal, like, hey, Tori Darmel, it's okay. One of the great, you know, you look at some, I look at some of the pictures I've autographed, and one of them is from Al. From Mr. Hal Jackson, and he wrote to my leader Stanley.
Okay.
I remember there's one I got autographed to me by Reverend Al Sharpton, and he said, you know, to my hero, Doc Stanley. You know, it's you, you know, you're humbled and you're just so grateful to God that you know people of merit have time for you know. Nobody like yourself. I remember Dave Winfield, I was talking to him yesterday, and I always give him a little shout for the holidays, and he happened to pick the phone up this particular time, and I called and said, hey, and Mel Stanley. He said, Melvin Stanley. Hey, Dave. He said, man, I want to tell you, I get all your messages, I get all your calls. I said, I know you, Dave, man. I said, I know you're busy. No, I just want to let you know I got him, appreciate him, and his lovely wife, Tanya. And he said so many things. I remember I was on the verge of, we got 3 minutes left of contemplating marriage. And I told him I wanted to talk to him for a minute, and he pulled me to the side. He said, hey, man, you know, something that you do, but you got to make sure that when you do it, he said, you know, you can get the most dynamite sex in the world, but you got to have somebody, he said, that's in your corner. And he was funny in his book I read where he was at an affair. I think on the sideline, the football game, man, and baseball game, and Magic was there. You know, Magic came to the locker room every day, and Magic was hugging and talking with him. And he said he looked at the ball boys, and Dave was funny. He said, yeah, he said, they were surprised that nobody like me knew Magic Johnson.
The devil died.
Hey, no,
but you know, Doug, I have to say, it's funny you should say that, because I've heard this expression, and now I have been able to see it up close and personal. But I have to say, Doc, for the most part, with rare exception, mm-hmm. the bigger they are, the nicer they are.
Yeah. It's always the great ones that are so humble and startled that you wonder what something with them. Okay, last minute here. We are, of course, you know, we're going to do 50 minutes with the mic on and the lights off. Doc Stanley, closing out this segment of Calling the Doctor with a prayer. Good Lord. Thank you. Simply, thank you. For everything, for all things. We pay homage to you. Every dollar to Jesus. Amen. Well, this is about ready to go. Larry Hardesty, do this.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Wrap up this segment in 45 seconds, but we're going to do another 15 minutes of Calling the Doctor with the mic on and the lights off. Mr. Coltrane, please. Dear Lord, thank you for everything, all things. Pay homage to you, the one, only true God. Ask these blessings to bless our family and our friends and all that Blake Radio and across the world, our listeners. In the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
We started this out as a half an hour. Told you we had to do more. So we got another good 15 minutes, Rooney.
I'm sorry, was that Doc?
We got another 15 minutes. You know, let it flow.
Oh, no, I know. And I wanted to say this, Doc. It's, you know, it's always a pleasure and honor being able to speak to you and the very large Sports in Depth Nation that tune in to listen. I know that the show is, you know, just a huge, huge hit. And I thank you for being part of it. Like I said, every time I get a chance to address you and the Sports in Depth Nation, it's an honor. You know, Doc, one thing I wanted to say just right quick, I tried to make this point previously on another show that we had done. I want to say this so that the fans get an idea of exactly what I'm talking about. They have a show on, Doc, called Pros versus Joes. I know you're familiar with it. Whereas guys who were hot shots in college, you know, played a little football, played a little basketball, maybe for some Division II or Division III team.
That classic line that you said one time, Rosie, and you're the one on here. They had a cup of coffee.
Yeah, that good job, Doc. That's a fun about guys who maybe did that or had a cup of coffee with a pro team, like you said, against guys who say were stars, retired stars. Retired, say, great running backs or retired basketball players who are great, you know, like that. And for the most part, there's always the retired guys who did their thing, who beat the hot shots that figured that they were just a bit below making it.
I say
that to say this, Doc, and you'll appreciate this. I'm not going to drone on too long. Everybody that I know has a friend. Some guy, Big Steve, Big John, Big Greg, whoever. Some guy,
Little
like
Willie.
Some guy that's like 6'6", 6'7", 240, 250, 260. Some big guy, and you're always thinking, you know, if Steve had a chance to train with those guys, Steve could hang out with those guys. And I always say this, Doc. I always say this. There are some guys who are naturally talented who could probably do that after a month or so of training. But for the most part, if your guy, Big Steve, 6'7", 6'8", whatever, 6'6", 240, if your friend Steve or whoever was actually go up against an NBA player, I'm not talking about a star. I'm talking about a guy who's like 11th or 12th man on the bench. He'd get destroyed. Literally would get destroyed.
Yeah, no question about it.
And the reason is, Doctor, I've been trying to tell friends and stuff, like when they ask me about the wrestlers and what have you, is, Doc, what they don't realize, and you do, obviously, you're a legend in this business, these guys do this to eat, okay? So if you were thinking that you're a hotshot football player, and your guys say 250, 260, and you think you can play in the NFL if you train with those guys for a month, hey, those guys who are third crew or third team on the practice team would destroy your guy. You know, and I say that to say this, that, you know, when Mike Tyson, Doc, was knocking out all these guys in one round, two rounds, and they were like, oh, these guys are bums, man. These are the last 40 seconds of Tyson. My boy Steve could have beat the guy that Tyson beat. Maybe your boy Steve could. But I'm willing to bet that 9 out of 10, the guy that Tyson knocked out one round would destroy your guy.
You know, it's funny that I always found, I found an amazing thing about America. If your name is Jack, they call you Jackie. If your name is Robert, they call you Rob. If you got a short name, they extend it. You got a long name, they cut it off. And a lot of times, Little Willie is 6'6", 255 pounds, and Big Jake is 5'4", and 130.
Good job, Doc, and you're right.
Hey, man, put that back, because Little Willie going to be upset. Man, let it for Little Willie. Boom. 6'7", 255 pounds. Hey, man, you got a problem? and then Big Jake going to be upset. Big Jake's 5'235 pounds, soaking wet. You know, But you look at America, man. They, if you got a short name, they extend it. You got a long name, they cut it short. You know,
good
Jackie
job Robinson. I never thought of it that way, but you're absolutely right. You know, it's funny. I remember talking to one of the old wrestlers, and I was talking to him about the villains and how the villains get, you know, the various heat from the crowd. You know, the booze and how to antagonize the crowd. So I remember one thing, and I said, you know, I said, talking to one of the old-time veterans, and said, you know, man, the garden holds like 18, 19,000 for wrestling. How are those, all those people mad at you? It could be dangerous work. No?
Mm-hmm.
And he just winked at me and said, don't worry, those guys can take care of themselves. Well, I thought after I went through the training that those guys go through, Doc, and the mentality that those guys walk through those ropes with, now I know what he means. Because at first, I said, you know, being a heel can be dangerous work.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, those guys can take care of themselves. Don't worry about it. The guys can take care of themselves. Doc, now I know what you mean. You know, when you get through that wrestling training, you know, being in good shape is not being in wrestling shape. Being in good shape is not being in pro football shape. Being in good shape is not being in pro basketball shape. You know, folks think that they're in very good shape, and they may be for the most part. Yeah, you're in regular shape for a regular person. You're not in the shape of these guys who do this to eat.
Mm-hmm. No, that's making it's like that great line I'll never forget in the movie, I think Helsinki, and I can't think of the name. And there's a situation there where the head vampire is in his room, and what's his name? I can't think of his first name. John Malkovich. I can't think of pronounce his last name right. He plays his part, and he's torturing this animal. And the head vampire says, you know, Igor, why do you torture that thing so much? And he says, Master, it is what I do.
It's what I do.
Master, it is
what I do. What I was born for, huh?
Yeah, Rooney, you know, he said, you know, he's like, come on, man, Master, it is what I do. You know, my job, you know, my grandson had a great line. I was talking to him one day, and my son Mel Jr. was there, and I said, what's Uncle Melvin doing? He said, he's washing dishes right now, Grandpa. I said, yeah. I said, Tariq, do you ever, like, wash your dishes or help around the house and everything? He said, Grandpa, I'm 8 years old, and my biggest job in life right now is to play.
I like that. I like that. That's cute.
And my biggest job in life right now
is
to play.
It is.
Yeah, you know, it was just, you know, a great line. And I remember that line. Anytime I'm someplace and I see people in a certain invocation, whatever it be, and I think of that line, and he said, Master, it is what I do. And what we're going to do right now is go back to Deirdre Shuler and let her explain to you how you can download certain, the whole procedure, as we did last show. It really turned out really good for us. And I got Mel Smith Jr. here. We're in the closing, we got another good 10 minutes here. Yeah, what do we got? Okay, another 8 minutes. Yeah, well, you know, hey, it's always, I'm looking at some things here, you know. Time flies and having fun. I'm looking at some names. We got Gato Barbieri, and you know, I opened for him as a comic. And same thing with Grover Washington Jr. And also, I'm looking where, you know, I met the great Miles Dewey Davis, big boxing fan. Miles,
really?
Tremendous boxing fan. Was said that had, you know, as you talked about people, you know, who got a friend that could have this could have done that. Well, they said, you know, had Miles maybe went another way, he could have possibly been a tremendous welterweight contender. The first lady of Blake Radio, listen in, is Deirdre Shuler, tells us how you can download.
Hello, I'm Deirdre Shuler, your host of Topically Yours. I wanted to take a moment to thank you for listening to my show today. If you enjoyed today's programming, please support other Topically Yours shows, as well as the entire roster of Blake Radio hosts and their shows featured on Rainbow Soul. Listeners can also catch Blake Radio on iTunes by simply typing Blake Radio into the iTunes search menu. Also, via Blog Talk Radio's help menu, audiences can obtain instructions on how to listen to shows via Cinch and how to download shows to their iPods and iPhones. It is the intention of Blake Radio to continue offering quality shows designed to inspire, inform, and entertain you. So stay tuned to our programming and tell your friends about Blake Radio 2. We'll be waiting.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel. Sports in Depth is the show, and we've got Mel Smith Jr., Lou Coco in here in our last 5 minutes. In the background, little Miles Davis playing. Rooney, let it flow. Let it flow.
Indeed, Doc, one of the greats, Miles Davis.
Rooney, you know, I remember so often I was sitting ringside with Mrs. Lewis, Lennox's mother. Remember that fight? That was that great card.
Lennox's mom, yeah, of course. I think his greatest performance, Doc, against
That was the fight. Rooney, that was the fight that showed me that Lennox Lewis could fight.
Tremendous rumble, Doc.
Him and Ray Mercer. That was a hell of a card. You had Mercer on that card. You had three heavyweight. You had four heavyweight champions on that card.
You did. I think it was Bobby Tubbs and Holyfield and somebody else.
Holyfield was on that card. Mercer, who was a heavyweight champion.
And who was the big Cuban guy on there against Terrible Tim?
Cuban guy, yeah, but I'm for guys who were heavyweight champions at one time or another.
Oh, okay.
Lennox.
Right,
you know what? The funny thing about it, nobody was heavyweight champion of the world then. None of those guys were the champion then. They had all, you know, it's an amazing fact. Wow. Lennox wasn't champion. Mercer wasn't champion.
Tremendous
Holyfield
fight.
Holyfield wasn't champion. And Witherspoon wasn't champion. If I'm correct, Vinnie Bowe was heavyweight champion of the world then.
Yeah, you may be right about that, Doc. I'll have to
Vinnie Bowe was heavyweight champion of the world then. Yeah, because in fact, you know what? I have that poster. The artist, Greg, was a buddy of mine, and he gave me the poster, and I had everybody autograph the poster. And that poster is hanging in my living room.
Really?
Autographed by four heavyweight champions.
That's awesome, Doc.
And every one of them, after losing heavyweight championship, regained it. Every one of them, after losing the title, regained the heavyweight championship world, which was something that just wasn't done because Floyd Patterson was the first man ever to regain the heavyweight championship of the world. And then,
Ali. I'm sorry, what did you say about Ali? That's my favorite of all time. You know that, Doc.
Yeah, Ali was the first man ever to win it three times. And he was, I believe, only the second man to ever get it back. You know, because, you know, Joe Frazier never got the heavyweight championship of the world back.
No, he didn't, Doc. He didn't.
He never got the heavyweight championship of the world back.
He lost that to Foreman. It was Kitty Bobby
Foreman. Yeah, he's funny, too. I asked him about Foreman. I asked him one time. I said, you know, was Ali the best fighter you ever fought? And he said, yeah. He said, but you know, George beat me up. He said, George beat me up, man. He said, George got mad because I wouldn't stay down. Oh, yeah. Time flies when you're having fun, especially when you're stuck with an intellectual like Mel Smith Jr. It's the closing minutes now of Sports to Death, Calling the Doctor. We'll be sure with Mel and probably do another one during the course before it closes out because it's been in demand. You've been calling in, you want to do more of Rooney and his questions. Doc Stanley, and God calls me to close out. Dear Lord, a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you. Dear Lord, we pay homage. Dear Lord, we honor you. Dear Lord, thank you for being our God. And that line, I'll never forget, the lady said, you're God all by yourself. Thank you, dear Lord, and for the gift of life from your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Rooney, Larry Hodges is going to close us out. I'm going to talk to you during the week. You got one last question, Rooney?
Doc, I just wanted to say always a pleasure and an honor speaking to you and your many fans all around the world from the Sports In Depth Nation. I really appreciate it. It's always an honor, Doc.
Well, Rooney, you know, like I said, you know, you two others, I am somebody. And you and Lady A, Lady D, Dusty, Harold, Lonnie Smith joined us, C-Wings, it was all bring to the table. And that great line by Walter Whitman, you know, I no doubt deserve my enemies, but I doubt if I deserve my I deserve my friends. Thank you for the brothership and the friendship. Three thoughts. Live your life today. And I just stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Forgiveness is not an occasional act, but a permanent state of mind. Doc Stanley, Mel Smith Jr., simply say good night, God bless you all, and trust in God. Larry Hardesty, close us out. We got to go.
This concludes another edition of Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Rudy?
Doctor, pleasure as always, and thank you again.
Thank you, my friend.
I will talk to you soon, Doc, during the week.
Oh, yeah, you will be. We'll be back with another show. Thanks, my friend.
All right, Doctor. Have a good one.
Take care, buddy.
Good night, sir.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Do